This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
And they're live in the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on there. Great to have you along today, Rusty. So what was your weekend like?
Dog surf a little bit.
Dog surfing contest this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. What else did I do? I raised a little money for. This is a great program. Reach out and read or something. Anyway, I worked with the Association of Pediatric People. You know,
the Pediatric Something Association.
Yes. But here's what happens when you go see your doctor. A lot of people trust their doctor. I mean, most you should trust your doctor.
Right.
So here you bring your kid in. The doctor goes, "Hey, what book are you reading, kid?" And the kid's like, "I don't know. I don't have a book. I don't have the money. My parents don't have whatever." So the doctor goes, "Well, here's a book." Gives him a book. Next visit, whatever it's for, says, "How'd you like the book? What was the book about?" They kind of, you know, they're working with someone they trust to encourage them to read.
Okay.
And then sometimes the parents can't even read. I mean, you have families where they're not speaking English in the house, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, they've got books in other languages and the whole. So anyway.
So you raised money for this.
Raised money to help this program out.
How was it a good group?
Good group.
Raised some money?
We did, yeah.
Good looking people?
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones.
Yeah, really? Target-rich environment?
That's what I'm saying, baby.
Yeah,
no, but it was
I heard good things about you.
Yeah,
I was told that you did fantastic things.
Oh, good.
It was good stuff. So
good to help. Next year, I'll be there again and charge them more, but raise more. That's how it works.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Now, do you get paid by the pound or by the hour?
Well, I say I'm from 3 to 5K. You pick your budget.
3 to 5K?
I'll come in for free, but I want a little skin in the game. I take a percentage of the take over last year.
A little something.
A
little scooch.
Care. What else am I doing on a Monday evening? Saturday nights are busy. But
all right.
Yeah, off nights, I'll come in. I'll work your chair.
So you'll take a piece of the action for, you know, instead of having a flat fee.
Right.
What did they say was in the movie The Sting?
What?
Flat rate or percentage? That's when they were doing the sting.
I'll take it.
Flat rate or percentage?
What do you want to work with?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you care?
Don't care. Well, no, I don't.
All right.
No. I got to do the same thing. Right. Yeah.
Have you looked at the world of cannabis lately? Cannabis investing?
Why, on the way in here this morning.
Oh, you
I
did.
Was
you
looking
were researching.
Very closely at some cannabis. It was right there. It was as if.
Wow.
It was right there. No. Why? What?
Researching some cannabis investing?
Always.
Really?
Perpetual research, Bob.
Okay. Yeah. How's that glaucoma?
You know, I can see clearly now.
Okay, that's good.
How long?
That's fantastic. Will Waldrop,
our
favorite CEO from Evio Labs, was supposed to be on with us this morning. Will has had... Will, I'm a little concerned about Will. Will has lost his voice, and it's going on like 2 weeks now. Will has... bequeathed his duties today to Anthony Smith. Dr. Smith
Ooh.
Is the chief science officer for Evio Labs, and he's also he was a founder of Kenevir Research. I think I'm saying that.
Okay.
So this guy is a molecular and cellular biologist with an emphasis on biochemistry. Now understand that Evio is in the cannabis space, but they are serving those folks in order to try to create an infrastructure, because one of the things that's missing out of all these states that are legalizing medical cannabis as well as recreational marijuana is the fact that there is no regulating body, really. And now they're at the tip of the spear to talk a little bit about that is Anthony Smith. Dr. Smith, how are you, sir? Great to meet you.
I'm very good, and thanks for having me on, Russ. Sully, I appreciate it.
So talk. Can you give us a top-down look? My first question is this: What's Canada doing right versus the U.S. doing wrong? Because these guys federally legalized medicinal cannabis as well as recreational marijuana. Why wouldn't the feds just do that? I mean, you're at the tip of the spear here. You're looking at the medicine. What's going on here?
Well. I think Canada is doing it right, like from a socially progressive standpoint of legalizing it at the federal and national level. Provinces in Canada still have their own power to regulate licensure. There is federal testing standards, but each province is still going to end up, you know, regulating licenses and how retail and testing actually happen.
Well, maybe it just makes it easier for them to do business. Like here in the States, you got one state doing it. Where do you put your money? I can't bring this product over a state line. This is the same product grown in this state. It costs this and that. It's just mixed up without that federal kind of nod of, okay, it's okay.
Well,
and
I think
nation,
also the other piece of this thing we talk all the time is the fact that it's created a legal money laundering system where you've got these businesses doing legal business in states, but they cannot bank anywhere. So they're hiding cash everywhere. And they're not hiding it from the government necessarily. They're hiding it from getting stolen. I think that's a big piece of this, is it not? I mean, that's got to be a pain point, right?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And, you know, that's the main pain point that we have, is that, you know, banking, among other things, is still a challenge. And certainly, you know, manufacturers and distributors not being able to produce products where it's cost effective and where quality can be met regionally to produce cannabis and cannabis products for other states.
I'm loving it that people can, like yourself, can come into the industry and legitimately research and you know, almost make it okay for all of the researchers to come and look at cannabis. Before, you know, there was like,
because you're adding credibility is what you're adding, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So what would, and on that vein, what would you tell people that are still a little resistant to adopt the idea of medicinal cannabis or even recreational cannabis in these states? What are things people need to know that they don't know and they probably have preconceived notions of?
Right.
Well, fortunately, most states that are legalizing commercial cannabis are implementing pretty strict quality control measures, including safety and, you know, product standardization testing. But there's still quite a bit of progression to go. And you guys are right, is that folks like myself and other, you know, professionals and scientists in quality assurance and manufacturing, you know, this industry is creating a real niche. You know, I mean, we hire people with advanced degrees, and we consider ourselves a biotechnology company in all the states that we operate.
Tell us about, so we've got Evio Labs, but also I'm seeing a thing called hemptesting.com. Is that Evio Labs' new website, or is that a different faction of Evio?
It's a unique website and sort of brand position. It's definitely part of our Evio operations. We do a whole lot of work with hemp on the production end, also product quality assurance, and as well as value-added products and commodity-type work. We started paying attention to hemp right when we started business, even as far back as 2015. And in Oregon, we were among the first labs to work directly with the Oregon Department of Ag to get certified. You know, back at that time, you had to call the Department of Ag to get your hemp fields pre-tested in order for harvest authorization. And we just saw that as a nice value-added business prop for our operations, and work with Department of Ag to become one of the first labs, you know, certified to do called pre-harvest.
You want it certified. Here we hear in the States some vaping incidents where these black underground kind of
black market
stuff, they put something bad in a vape, and guess what? You are going to get sick because it's not tested.
Yeah, because
it is black market.
Right. There needs to be there. So how close are we to having infrastructure, in your opinion, Dr. Smith?
On the federal level, I think it's probably pretty far away still. There's a lot wrapped up politically in what the FDA or DEA wants to grab onto or let go of. And fortunately, even though it's nodular by state, you know, states' rights are going to, you know, the Fed are not going to be able to ignore that, right? I mean, states have already enacted all sorts of commerce, quality, and licensure regulations, and I don't think states are going to let any of that go. I mean, I think the best hopeful case scenario would be, you know, something like the Canadian model, where the feds either decriminalize or reschedule or whatever strategy they're going to take, but they're going to have to respect the momentum that states' rights have already gained in the industry.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate your time. Once again, Dr. Anthony Smith, he's the Chief Science Officer for Evio Labs, eviolabs.com. They are publicly traded, by the way, under the stock symbol EVIO. And some good stuff there. Interesting. Yeah, they actually had the doctor.
Yeah.
Not just the
Chief
not just
Scientist.
The guy.
You know what I like, that term, adult use? It's like it all should be adult. Is there adult use alcohol?
It's all adult use alcohol.
Is there medicinal
alcohol
and recreational alcohol?
All right, the intersection of Hollywood and politics. Our good friend James Herson will join us shortly.
Yeah.
JamesHerson.com. Coming up, Alyssa Parker's in studio, our sports nutrition specialist. Yeah, sit up straight and stop staring at her photo, Rusty.
Ah, okay. Good for my health.
Man. What do you think the team...
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey there, nationwide, coast to coast. 110 million TV homes strong, 150 radio stations, not to mention the rest of the world on iHeartRadio and Armed Forces Radio Network. Also, you're not only on your couch and in your car, you can also watch us on your mobile device. Right there on Apple TV, Roku, Binge TV, all that stuff. Great to have you. Sully here, Rusty Nails there. And things are looking up, buddy. Things are looking up.
What do you mean by that?
NASDAQ, S&P, all looking fit. Well, it's tepid.
Floating?
Kind of floating. Not a big deal. Let's take time for the numbers today. But I'll tell you, so we got to get a little political today because impeachment talks are in the air. AOC is talking of impeachment. I believe Nancy Pelosi, whether you like Donald Trump or not, I am not a fan of Donald Trump. I am a fan of his economy. So I can look at both sides of the equation. Rusty loves everything he does. I'm not a fan of his personality, but I cannot like a person and also appreciate his talent.
That's the only thing I like about him. Yeah,
look at we are maximum employment. We haven't seen employment figures like this in 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our interest rates are at 2%. You've got retailers that are reporting earnings that are through the roof. Now, what is 70% of any economy? Spending.
Oh,
thank
God.
You for calling.
I knew that one. I was
yeah,
to
exactly
in.
Right. So we're and retailers wouldn't be reporting great earnings if there wasn't great spending. So we're spending money. We got low interest rates. We got. I mean, look at the economy is singing along. Previous to that, you can't say that Donald Trump adopted a good economy because in the history of any president in the world, how much I love President Obama and his mm-hmm. presidential nature, he had the worst economy of any president in this country.
Yeah.
And he adopted a better economy and George W. Bush's economy was horrible. He adopted a 2.4% GDP, made it a 1.6% GDP.
Huh?
I mean, we were flat to down to contracting for 8 years under President Obama.
Oh, yeah.
I like the guy, but he had a horrible economy. I don't like Donald Trump. He's got a good economy. What can I say?
You better find some middle ground here, mister.
I will tell you, though, I'm just a truth teller. I'm not being political here. Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to wear a red hat.
No,
but I like his economy.
They'll cut you.
Here's the deal, though. Mega. And I want James to comment on this. James, first of all, welcome, buddy. How are you? Good to talk. James Herson, author, attorney. Wrote the book Tales from the Left Coast, Hollywood Nation, as argued for the Supreme Court. Russ has got his Jesse Smollett. He's also a contributing editor to Newsmax. Russ has got his Jesse Smollett.
Hey, it's
outfit
great to
on.
Be with you too.
So listen, I have to ask you if AOC gets her wish of an impeachment hearing for Donald Trump, that would assure his reelection, in my opinion. I think Nancy Pelosi knows that, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's the reason that she and the Democratic leadership have tried to control this activist wing led by the squad, led by AOC. And that's why, and Jerry Nadler, the reason he's pushing it is because he's being primaried in his own district from the left, from AOC style candidate. Yeah, they feel the pressure. But look, you mentioned the economy, and remember how the Democrats used to say, it's the economy, stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they're not stupid. They know. They know these employment figures. They know the growth figures. They know what they're up against. And that's the reason that they really are not talking about issues that America cares about. Because in a kind of a panic, they're looking for some other way to get traction. They have to say things are bad. So that's why 7 hours of climate change. That's why we see them talking about, you know, really actually what most Americans consider wacky, but their activist base thinks is great, you know? I mean, as if you're going to get to the presidency by telling people that you're going to ban cows, ban meat, ban airplanes, ban internal combustion engines, basically central planning, banning everything.
Sure.
And actually, it was quite revealing. Bernie Sanders starts talking about using abortion as birth control in poor countries. Does that sound familiar? People that want to control populations of certain populations.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to control populations of the poor. That's why I wrote an article. Bernie Sanders has basically now become Bernie Sanger. Margaret Sanger.
Yes.
You know, in other words, this because it's eugenics. It's what Margaret Sanger made speeches about. She said she had a dream of a world that was free of poverty, a world that was free of disease. Huh. And the way to do that was to take people who were poor, people who had diseases, people who had mental problems, and put them in camps. That's what she said.
Wow, that's
and
scary.
We'll let you out of the camp if you agree to be sterilized.
Wow.
That's what she said. And look, it's just a step away. If you start talking about, hey, let's encourage poor people to have abortions, which, of course, Planned Parenthood has done for decades, then it's just a step away to saying, changing encourage to let's force them. Because they're not talking about, hey, we would like to encourage you to stop eating hamburgers. They're talking about banning hamburgers. I live in a state where they didn't talk to me about plastic straws. They banned them.
You're right.
So this is what central planning means, whether it's the economy, whether it's lifestyle. What it means is that the elite people in government know better than you, and they're going to plan your life for you. And, it ends up leading to a rotten economy, of course. That's what the free market is. It's the answer to central planning. The market plans itself. It's free. We believe that.
So here's
libertarian, Sully, right?
Yeah, exactly right. As a libertarian, I believe that.
I mean, that's the whole basis of libertarianism is that central planning is a monstrosity.
Yeah.
Because that means that it takes away freedom and gives it to a small group, and that's what totalitarian regimes are all about.
Hey James, let's turn the cameras over to Hollywood. I haven't had any good Hollywood juice lately.
There's a Felicity Huffman suit.
Yeah, what's going on with the Felicity Huffman because of what was that? What are they calling that? They calling that Varsity Gate or something?
Oh,
yeah, I mean you're a graduate professor in law. What are they calling that? That you know where they paid
I haven't heard a cue.
University Gate
sounds good. I mean, it's the college admissions scandal.
Yeah, so what happened with Felicity Huffman? What's going on there? Is she going to jail, Russ?
Well, no, the prosecutors want her to do time. They want her to go into, you know, I think they're asking for a month in jail.
Yep.
But, you know, realistically, Felicity, you know, even if she got sentenced to jail, it would be like one of those Paris Hilton things where she'd go in and then the jail would be crowded. They'd keep her in for a couple days and put her out. But I think what the prosecutors want to do is use her and Lori Loughlin as examples because they get all the media coverage, and it would make prosecutors look soft if they worked out a Jussie Smollett deal.
Oh my God!
So they want to show that they're doing their job.
Hey, stay right there, James. I'm going to keep you. I got a couple other questions. Who's Felicity Huffman married to? Remember?
Yeah, she's married to William Macy.
Well, that wasn't William Macy in that picture.
No, she's now dating someone else.
Oh, she is.
I don't know.
I don't think you guys have the right picture.
Huh? That was probably her lawyer.
You're going to hold hands with your lawyer walking into court? Do not touch me, ever.
Sometimes you just hold hands. You know?
Like you're Jussie Smollett. You're Jesse Smollett. Call.
That's right.
Big Biz Show.
It's late at night.
We're back with more James Harrison coming up. Stand by.
They voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, Big Biz Show, Big Biz Show. Coming up in just a second, Alyssa Parker, author, sports nutrition specialist.
Oh, good.
Fitness coach.
Yeah.
She's a pro bodybuilding or figure competitor.
What?
Yeah, she's a, you know.
Buff?
Yeah. What? Cycle instructor.
What?
Nutrition specialist. Yeah, that's her. She's coming in studio.
Okay.
She hangs out with me.
Oh, my God. This is going to be great.
She's here to talk more about. Do you have any questions specifically for like diet trends and myths?
Well, I'm always wondering what to eat before I work out and how long to do that prior to, like an hour, 2 days.
How often do you work out, Russ?
Once a week.
Was it once a week?
Once a week.
So once a week you do. Okay, and you're wondering what to eat before and after. That Beltito's a little tight today.
That's the Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift's a little tight.
That comes and goes. Yeah, I did a lot of drinking and eating over the weekend. So
are you a little bloated?
Well,
a little bloaty?
It's fast day. I do my avocado, egg white, you know.
Why?
To get skinny. So I can eat whatever I want on the next weekend.
Is that how that works?
When I go to Maui. Yeah, Mama's Fish House. I'm coming, Maui.
Wait.
Wrap up.
You're going when?
Next week.
All next week?
17th through the 22nd.
You're gone.
You're gone, aren't you?
No, not gone.
I thought I timed it out for your bike ride.
Not
thing.
Gone.
When's your bike ride?
October.
I'm gone then, too. I'm going to Cabo that week.
Huh? Let's do this. Let's take care of this now.
Okay, hold on,
you're
please.
Gone. You're gone.
I'm gone the 17th. We take off to Maui.
So next Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
All week next week.
But we can do 5 shows Monday and then just get out of here. Smudge the numbers.
We're off Monday, by the way.
Oh, so happy.
We are.
No. Don't.
Yeah, I'm off Monday.
No, and then we'll come back. And you're doing your Challenge Athlete ride down the coast, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to go 700 miles in 7 days in support of Challenge Athletes Foundation, which you can see right there.
Here's
on the
your
wall.
Close-up.
Chris, why don't you show them?
This is a good one. Sully's done it every year, good knee or not. You got a new knee now.
Is there anybody in the control room?
There we go.
Are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the microphone's right away, but yeah.
That's right. You can see it.
So do you have a new knee? Wait.
Yes, I have a new knee. I have a new right knee.
Okay.
I'll have a new left knee the week of Thanksgiving this year.
Uncle.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. All right.
Back to the show.
Still reeling from the fact you're going to be gone next week and nobody told me.
I was going to bring it up live, and I just did.
Hey, James Hurston is with us. James Hurston, of course, Hurston on Hollywood, Tales from the Left Coast. And Alyssa Parker standing by. She'll be coming in studio shortly here. But so, James, I guess the question is, you know, I have gone to a couple of movies lately.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
And I know James is not really a Hollywood reporter. But he has his fingers on the pulse of
like
Hollywood.
Like a reviewer. Movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
critic.
So is there, my question is this, is there still politically somewhat of a blacklist in Hollywood if you are far left wing or far right wing or whatever the case may be?
Oh, I mean, it's right of center. People know this. If you work in the entertainment business and you're right of center, you have to keep it a secret unless you have clout.
Mm-hmm.
Because what will happen is your social calendar will be affected, which is terribly important. As you know, any glamour business, it comes with networking and who you know. And yeah, it's a real thing. You heard recently how the stars Will and Grace, Deborah Messing, and Eric McCormick wanted to know exactly who was attending a Donald Trump fundraiser. And Eric McCormick tweeted, so we know whether we will work with them.
Oh, boy.
So that's the definition of a blacklist. Even Whoopi Goldberg actually attacked Deborah Messing for that. She was offended because the blacklist is a, you know, an important story that's handed down in Hollywood. You know, about how people were basically denied work because of their beliefs. Of course, the vast majority of people who were denied work at the time had joined the United States Communist Party at the behest of Joseph Stalin. There's another side to the blacklist. But there's no question, there is currently a blacklist because there was an organization that was ostensibly secret. It kind of got disbanded. And the organization was for people that had beliefs that differ with Hollywood. So, you know, it's kind of like if you have a rally in Hollywood, if you have a rally for climate change, a lot of people will show up. If you have a rally to defend the Second Amendment, very small amount of people will show up. And so, you know, you've only seen people that have a lot of clout, like Patricia Heaton and others that have been willing to kind of come out what Charlton Heston called the conservative closet.
The conservative closet. There we go. All
right. Okay.
I just wanted to check because
I'm on the blacklist, Hollywood, just because I have no talent. But
hey, everybody,
that's a different list.
Russ is on the A list.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, A for
A.
A. Thank you, James. James Herson, Herson on Hollywood and Tales from the Left Coast and Hollywood Nation. You can also find his stuff at Newsmax
Had some terrible shots of Hollywood on the football games yesterday. The Chargers, L.A. Chargers.
Right.
I still can't say that
without
crying. But L.A. Chargers and whatever. But they would show the Hollywood sign. It looked like someone's, you know, just smoking out. The whole valley's full of clouds and crap and smog.
Well, it is because marijuana is legal in
in
California.
That's right.
Now.
It's the Cheech and Chong.
Oh, look who's here. Alyssa Parker.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Good morning.
Fitness model and mom. She's also a mom. She's
uh-huh.
a fitness model. She's a spin instructor.
And she can cook.
When you see your picture like that, does that make you uncomfortable? Or does it make you happy?
A little uncomfortable.
Does it? What? You're in a bikini. Come on. There's very few people that can walk around in a bikini like that.
Well, I'm in a different place now. I mean, I'm far well out of my competing days.
Okay, see, but that's the thing. In your head, you are, but for the rest of us, you're not.
Right, no.
I mean, you know, Russ is staring at
me. Is there a mom category? Like,
oh,
look at this.
Oh, my gosh. They should have a mom category.
They have, like, the master's divisions, which they have 35 and up, 40 and up, 50
yeah.
and up.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the clients that we work with are in these master's divisions.
Don't you work with...
Most of them are moms.
Yeah. So don't you work with moms mm-hmm. anyway? Like you
yeah.
work with like women that were in their prime
uh-oh.
And then they were out of their prime if they had kids and
the baby
get back in their prime, right? I mean,
yes.
body wise, I should
yes,
say.
And we work with people that just, you know, have started wanting to get into the whole fitness thing after years and years of never
right.
being in it.
So,
it's not even that they were there and they wanted to get
yeah,
back. They just never were.
There's a fantastic movie. There's a new movie that I saw this weekend called Molly Runs a Marathon or something? Somebody runs a marathon.
Oh, I heard about that.
Somebody runs a marathon.
Right, right.
And the actress is hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think she gained a bunch of, like, they did the whole Robert De Niro thing. She gained a bunch of weight for the thing.
Yeah.
But one of the takeaways was this thing is, I mean, this woman was out of shape. Smoking, drinking, that
right.
was the narrative, and she wanted to run a marathon.
I think it's a true story, too.
I believe it was based on a true story. And basically, the thing was, okay, I'm going to run a block today.
Yeah.
Is that how you start them
yeah,
off?
Yeah, you start slow.
Like super slow, but then it's not slow forever. It's slow for the first couple of weeks, and then our bodies tend to adapt, right?
Yeah, and it's important to always like periodize your programming. You wouldn't start right out of the gate running a marathon
every day.
And same thing with food. You know, maybe you start cutting out sugary
drinks.
Then you start drinking more water.
Rather than that drastic
right,
cut
it
of...
needs to be like slow and each habit adopted over time to
right,
go
Russ,
easier.
So Russ has food questions. Russ works out once a week, whether he needs to or not. So
and you want to
do what now? What are you figuring out?
I'm just trying to figure out because you have it's Bikram yoga. I sweat like 5 pounds off, but I want to bring that in, you know, into the class as water weight or something where I have to, you know, be hydrated.
But well, are you saying you want to hydrate before?
Yes, I think.
Or are you saying that you'd rather lose more weight by walking?
No. Okay. I get dizzy and right. something bad
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, no, you should definitely hydrate in that case.
Before and after.
Yes, because hydration also makes you weaker, so you're not going to be as strong to perform during the workout.
But what do you drink, though? I mean, there's
oh, are you saying I'm drinking too much?
No,
many
I mean, you should,
that.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Certain things
yeah, yeah.
are not hydrating.
So I could have too much liquid in me. And that tires me out, maybe?
No, no. Oh. If you are dehydrated.
Oh, I see.
Then, like, so if you're sweating profusely right. for a long period of time, then your performance will suffer.
Okay, so let's dispel wow. some of the rumors, because I think yeah. a piece of this thing is because, and by the way, Alyssa Parker is our fitness expert on the program.
So many questions.
Russ is not our fitness expert on the program. My question would be, so when you go do a spin class,
yes.
like when you teach a spin class,
yes.
wow. by the way, because you're burning more energy than anybody, because you have to do it all.
Well, right, and my adrenaline is super
high. Are you
high,
yelling and stuff?
Yeah, I'm yelling yeah. through the intervals, yeah. and I do it 100%.
This is part of our
Let me hear a little.
I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of an 8-10 record.
Yeah, that's her.
That's harsh.
Yeah,
okay.
So she gets.
I'll take the class.
She gets up a little bit.
I'll go.
Do you eat before the class?
I don't eat, so I do. Should
everybody
fasting.
Else eat?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm used to not eating, and I think having a full stomach, I don't feel that great. Yeah.
But what's
for
in there?
Cardio. Because I'm doing cardio.
Yeah.
So I drink an electrolyte supplement.
All right, hold it right there.
Wow.
Hold it. Russ, see, now Russ has got questions. Right,
I'm good at drinking.
All right, Alyssa Parker is our guest.
So
a
cheeseburger's not good like an hour before.
Probably not. Yeah, I'm going to say that.
How about those new vegetarian? No?
Stand by. Big Biz Show. We're giving you, listen, we cover everything. We cover politics, we cover stocks, we cover impeachment, we cover weed, and we cover your.
They all come together.
Protocol. Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. We're back in a second.
Ow, wow, wait a second, man.
Asking the one answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
What'd you call him?
I don't know. Electrolytes.
Electrolytes. I think that's right. That's what Gatorade is.
Like just a big chunk of big gallon Gatorade?
Okay, just hold hang on. A second.
Welcome back.
Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com.
So
our website. Nationwide, coast to coast, TV and radio. Should we do an app again? Remember the first Big
we
Biz?
We had an app.
Remember the Big Biz app?
Sure.
You know, the Big Biz app started like this. It was just a mirror. No, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it goes blank.
Yeah, because you could look yourself in the mirror.
And then if you're ever like in a jungle, you can, you know, rest, bounce the sun off. Signal for him.
All our app was is it would blacken your screen out so you could see yourself the reflection of your phone.
And we have a lesson where you could just huck it at someone.
Didn't we have a joke generator on there? Like a Russian Nails joke generator?
Plug in your subject matter and I'll make a joke.
Maybe we should do an app again.
I don't know.
Are there app developers? If you're an app developer, contact the program.
And we have
give me some free something.
I know somebody for you.
She's an app developer.
She is an app developer.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever worked like a really big fatty? Like a big fatty and turn them into they look like you?
Yeah.
Male or female?
I mean, we've transformed people from, you know,
How come you guys won't say she's a fatty?
Right,
now she's not a fatty.
Because
I don't like saying that because I don't like the fat shaming.
Right, right.
Quality.
Is that shaming?
You know,
I think it is.
If I call you fat,
yeah,
is that,
like
well, if you
offensive.
Look at me and giggle at the beach, it's kind of you know I get.
But
hurt.
You jiggle at the beach, so I
no giggle.
Giggle at the beach.
I see what you're doing.
Right, I'm just teasing. That but movie is about fat. I'm not talking about fat shaming. I'm talking about okay.
Honest, you know, body.
Giant person needs to get healthy, can barely get out of bed.
Right.
I mean, you see it all the time.
It's a Richard Simmons thing.
Yeah, you see it all the time on video, all the time. But yeah. but the problem is there is...
That's
okay,
mental.
So point A, fat guy.
Yeah,
point
yeah.
B, healthy guy.
Right.
Right? Okay. And they probably look better, too. But that's really should would be. The problem is there's 5,000 roads to get there, and most of them are wrong.
Right.
Oh, right.
Well, you have to really look at the individual and start with little habits one by one, you know, and becomes a lifestyle change. So right now there's the whole anti-diet movement.
What's an anti-diet? Okay,
so
talk about
basically
this.
They're saying, you know, we're not focusing on the numbers on the scale, and the extreme side of the spectrum is, you know, people that are obese are
can't
saying,
even see
don't
the scale.
Diet, we don't want you to go on a diet,
right.
And that's not healthy either. I mean,
well, wait a second, but it wasn't everything based upon
people
on body mass index, BMI? And BMI is based on the scale, is it not?
It is, and it's actually, if you have more muscle mass, then your BMI is going to be high. So, like, I have a higher BMI.
Yeah,
so it's not really an accurate
she's
number.
She's a fatty.
You know?
You can stand it.
Okay, so because it's based just upon a number, you're, you know,
it's
you're
a ratio. So yeah, if you're, if you have more lean body mass than the average person, it's not really an
accurate measure. So on a chart, are you obese on the chart, on the BMI chart?
I have a high BMI. I don't even, I don't really look at BMI
because
it's all accurate.
But if you're the, because you know the, you know those life insurance charts, if you weigh, if you're like 6'5" and you're over 120,
yeah,
you are going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Based upon those things.
Well, that's why it's not a good way to gauge things.
So how do you gauge it? When you talk to people and you look at, is it based upon how well they move? Is it the fact that?
Well, yeah, it's about kind of, when we're working with clients, we assess them by their photos, how they're feeling, how they're eating. We look at everything, the whole big picture.
Wow. A lot of it's mental, though, isn't it?
A lot of it really is. Yeah. And
50% of it is half mental.
Yeah, I mean, you have to really kind of enjoy, if you're working out, you want to enjoy the workouts that you're doing, so you're not fighting it all the time.
Find something you like to do and just do that.
And same thing with food. You know, find the diet that kind of works for your lifestyle so you don't feel like you're on a diet. I think that's that whole anti-diet
movement. Well, that Jenny Craig thing, they give you brownies and lasagna and all this crap diet version, and then when you're done, you're like, I'm going to have brownies and lasagna, and you're like,
they don't teach you how to eat.
Right.
Talk about your book, because that's your book covers a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, so, even in my book, before the whole anti-diet movement really became a thing, I was kind of talking about that in my book, because it's really making it a lifestyle. You're not focusing so much on the numbers on the scale and just the physical part. You know, you want to feel better, and you want to eat healthier.
And look better.
And you that just comes with the territory.
Right.
Once you've made the lifestyle changes, you know, and you're happier because of it. Because I struggled a lot with eating and then started binging because I was dieting so restrictively for
so long.
What
is your, like, go-to dessert? Is it a chocolate big?
Yeah, I'm chocolate.
Yeah, you like chocolate.
You're
chocolate.
Cookies or brownies.
So there you go.
Fit starts in the kitchen. That's the name of the book. And you've created, now are these recipes you created?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Yeah. With
they're all like healthier versions of things. So for flour, I'll use almond meal or almond flour and coconut flour and protein powder. Mix that together.
Oh, that's
and that's
good.
Like a flour substitute. So that works great in a lot of different recipes.
Did you get on as a chef recipe writer? Is that because you were competing and you said, I'm tired of eating boneless, skinless chicken breast and broccoli?
Yes. Uh-huh. And because I was dieting so hardcore, I was obsessed with food.
Yeah. Oh, is that what happens?
Yes.
Is that what happens, really?
It does.
Like when you're dieting, like when you're working out, all you're thinking about is food?
Oh, nothing but. And every meal, I would sit there eating asparagus and watching Food Network.
Right.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Like what are you going to eat on the next deal?
Yeah.
Really? How can you make that a healthy version of that?
Yeah, right.
Right, and that's what I really tried to do. And now that I'm out of that whole competing world and I'm not dieting restrictively all the time, I don't care about food as much.
Right. You don't? Is it
not really? I mean, I basically have lunch and dinner and maybe a snack, and I have such a better relationship with food, and I'm so much happier now that I'm.
What are you doing for breakfast tomorrow?
Is there a one size fit all? I mean, would everybody have success with paleo, or everybody have success with keto, or everybody have success with vegetarian or vegan? I mean, is each person sort of need to pick their lane?
And that's the whole lifestyle aspect. Like, I love like meats and chicken and all that stuff. For me to be a vegetarian. Like,
forget
I crave
you get cranky.
That.
You
yeah,
get cranky.
I don't. I'm, yeah. It's not satisfying.
Girl needs herself a
to
steak
me.
At some point.
I do.
And I bet physically everybody would kind of lose weight on a keto, but they wouldn't be happy with it. Some people would go, God, this sucks. I hate this food, but
like,
I am going to lose weight.
This is why talk shows work. Because if she were the host of a talk show, all we've been doing is just asking crap we were always wondering.
Right.
Right? Is that what happens when you go to, like, and you're
That's
sitting
what
on a
I
plane?
Do.
When you're sitting on a plane, there's three things you can't be. You can't say that you are a doctor. Okay.
Right.
Because next thing it's like, hey, I got this thing in my.
Yeah.
Okay,
is there a doctor on board?
You can't say you work at the Genius Bar at Apple.
No.
Because all of a sudden, hey,
questions.
I got this thing, right?
I'm a corn.
And you can't say, I'm a fitness specialist because you get freaking pinned in a corner.
Yeah.
Right?
And every party.
And I bet some people open up a little too much, like, I've got this. All right. I can't help you.
Jeez. Hey, last of all, I want to talk about caloric restriction because we're here and talking. I only got 30 seconds on this. Are you a big believer in people not eating at all? Is that a thing? Because they do that on Biggest Loser.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, don't first eat. Of all, anorexia not good.
No,
I mean, but intermittent fasting it has its uses. I don't think it's necessarily for everybody.
We're doing a whole thing in intermittent fasting next time she's on.
Yeah,
can you come back
in
a couple weeks?
That. Yes.
All right, good. I want to have her own show.
And wear that outfit. You're cooking bacon in there in your book. That looks painful.
Alyssa Parker, thank you, Alyssa. Go to her website. AlyssaParker.net. Everything is there. And FitStartsInTheKitchen.com. All right. Chris Janik is our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow. Rusty Nails, RussIsFunny.com, because
RussIsFatAndBald.com. Oh, take it.
I'm Sully. Catch me over at Sully Seats. See you tomorrow. Hey.